Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. But before I read my text, I want to read something else. Acts chapter 4, verse 26 through 30. And this is a prayer that I believe Peter prayed right after the day of Pentecost. And as they began to preach, as the Spirit was poured out, he threw the net that first day, saying, "This is that." When the Spirit was poured out, this is the promise of the Father. And there was opposition. But that's enough background. Let's read these five verses. "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And obviously that's a quote from Psalm chapter 2. "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles of the Romans, and with the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." In just a minute, I'm going to pray. Whoever is listening to the program, if you're sick, if you have some disease, or you're hurt or injured or anything like that, as the apostle prayed, let's ask God to stretch forth his hand to heal. And I say this because I'm asking for prayer. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for me and for my family. There's three of us in my extended family that the health is critical. One is in the hospital, not expected to walk out. Another two of us, death is not imminent, but it's an incurable disease. Something that the doctor said, here's a pill, take one of these for the rest of your life. And one of them's in great pain every day, has to take pain pills. There's no cure. So I'm going to pray for you, but please don't forget me. Don't forget my family. Let's both pray that God would stretch forth his hand to heal. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as this prayer said, help us to preach and to teach the Word of God, that many would come to know the Lord and become disciples. But Lord, I pray for everyone that is sick or hurting or has this thing that will never go away or what have you. Please have mercy, O Lord. Please look unto your children or those maybe that are not your children yet, but listen and like what they hear. Please help us, O God. And again, as the text says, stretch forth your hand to heal, O Lord. In Jesus' name, that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. But let's take a look at our text. We said last time that chapter 8 and chapter 9 is one long-running commentary. One event after another, one interruption after another, but it's one string of events. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, verse 23, and then 28 through 34. Again, Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. Verse 23. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And in picking up at verse 28 through 34. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, or out of the cemetery, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine, or hogs or pigs, feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they came out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place or off a cliff into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And we've already prayed, so let's get right to the lesson. I've mentioned demons before, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I do want to say that demons are real. The Bible talks about them, and occasionally we'll find some evidence that the Bible is correct. In other words, we'll find some evidence that demon spirits do exist. You know, the Bible is true. The Bible is true. This passage talks about demons and how they interact with people and with animals, and how they are subject to God. Again, I don't focus on this, but it's in the Bible, and I believe it. Now, Jesus, he got in the boat with his disciples, and they rowed or put up a sail or what have you, but they ended up on the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, what have you. I don't know that they went straight across, maybe they went at an angle, but they ended up on the other side. And the first thing that happens, the first person they meet, is a demon-possessed man. And he's in the way. He lives in the cemetery, and I'm sure that people don't like to hang around cemeteries, but if you live near one, you got to walk past it. And this guy, full of the devil, was in the way, and it says exceeding fierce. I don't know if he beat people up or threatened them or whatever, but it says nobody could go that way. Nobody could pass that way. They had to go out of their way, go around, and then continue on their way. But it's interesting that Jesus gets out of the boat. They make their way on shore. And this demon-possessed man, the devil starts to talk through him and immediately recognizes Jesus, the Son of God. And then makes reference of the end. He makes reference to the time that Jesus comes back, and after the millennium, and I don't want to get into eschatology, but after the millennium, you can read your Bible, the last couple of chapters in the Bible, it talks about the end and the judgment, and that the devil and all of his angels are thrown in the lake of fire. And the devil knows it. The devil knows it. His time is short, it says in Revelation. Jesus shows up, and the devil says, "Oh, no." And he was afraid that his day of judgment was then. And again, I don't like to spend time talking about demons. But this demon recognized the Lord and testified, not that I want anything to do with whatever any demon says, but he testified of the truth of the Bible and the second coming and the eventual judgment. And the devil kind of bargains with the Lord and says, "Look, let us go over here to these pigs. We're going to leave this man. Going to come out of him. Let us go into the pigs." And there's questions here that I don't understand. I don't have the answers. But it says that they came out of the man, went into the pigs, and the pigs weren't having any of it. And they got all bent out of shape, the pigs, and ran toward the cliff and off the cliff like a bunch of lemmings, I guess, and drowned, perished in the waters. I don't understand. Okay, the pigs drowned, but those demons didn't. But again, I don't understand. I believe the book. Some things I just don't understand. But in verse 33, our story starts to get interesting. It says, "And they that kept them," or owned them, "and fed them, and kept after them," what have you, "tended the flock of pigs," if you want to use the wrong term. It says that they fled, and they went into the city, and they told everything. Maybe they owned the pigs, or maybe they were just tending them for somebody else. But they went into the city and found, like I said, the guy that owned the pigs. Or maybe he talked to the sheriff or whatever the case. But they told, "Hey, Jesus came, got out of his boat. That demon-possessed man, the devil, came out of him. Those demons went into the pigs. They ran off and drowned themselves in the sea. And we were afraid, Well, here we are telling you the story." An obvious question: what's this Jewish kid keeping pigs for? Oh, but we're not supposed to ask that question, I suppose. You know, if you're a Christian, and this guy's a Jew, but let's bring it up to date. If you're a Christian, you're going to want to do right. You know, if you work in the grocery store and they say, look, stock the shelves and there's beer, or if you're a cashier, well, you have to sell beer, and that's just what it is. You got to sell beer. Everybody knows Christians don't drink, or if they do, it's very seldom, but everybody knows that Christians aren't drunks. They don't have a six-pack every Sunday or every Monday night football. They don't sit there and drink beer all the time. But if you work there at the grocery store, you have to handle liquor. That's one thing. That's one thing. But you probably shouldn't find a Christian tending bar. You understand the difference. One is incidental, but the other one, that's his livelihood. That's all he does. He sells beer and drinks, what have you. It speaks of compromise. Compromise. You shouldn't compromise your values. You shouldn't compromise as a Christian. You ought to live for God, try to walk as close as you can to Him, and as far away as you can from the things of the devil. Okay, so we can ask that question. But it says that the whole city, everybody in town, came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, it says that they told him, hey, Jesus, get back in your boat and go back to the other side. You know, you read in the Gospels, everywhere he went, people were thronging Jesus, asking him for prayer, asking, hey, would you pray for so-and-so? Or reaching out and touching the hem of his garment, or hanging on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God at the Sermon on the Mount, or what have you. Most wanted him. But these guys on the other side of the lake, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. And when Jesus shows up, they told him to get back in his boat and go away. But there's a backstory. This town where these people, the Gergesenes, lived, you understand that there are 12 tribes of Israel. You know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. You know there's other tribes, again, 12. The tribe of Levi, the tribe of Dan, what have you. But these guys, they were of the tribe of Manasseh. And in Numbers chapter 32, you can read the backstory. When the Jews came out of Egypt, and everybody's seen the movie The Ten Commandments, we understand the basic story of how God delivered the Jews from Egyptian bondage. They were slaves, and God set them free. And God led them. They went through the desert. They went through the Red Sea. They went to Mount Sinai to receive the law. They did all of this stuff. God led them the entire way. And God said that their destination was the land of Canaan. And that's where the Jews ended up, in the land of Israel, but it was really the land of Canaan. And if you read, you'll find that God said, this tribe's going to be here, then next door, this other tribe, and on the other side of whatever, the other tribe is going to be there, and on the seashore, this other tribe is going to be. And all of these tribes, these 12 tribes, God said, this is your promised land. This is where your tribe is supposed to live. And when they were getting close, when they were about to cross the Jordan or whatever, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh said, God, we want to stay on this side of the river. I mean, I know you promised, and I know that you have a place just for us in the promised land, but we don't want it. And God, if you read Numbers chapter 32, was ticked off. But he said, okay, I guess, you can stay on the wrong side of Jordan. I'm not going to force you to live in the promised land. You can stay over here. And that there were conditions, and again, there's a whole story. But my point is, God gave them a gift, an inheritance, a place for them to live forever. And they said, no thanks, God. We don't want it. They rejected God's promise. And when Jesus, in our text in Matthew chapter 8, he rolled up, got out of the boat, delivers a demon-possessed man, the people say, thanks, but no thanks. Get back in your boat. Get out of here. Again, we've seen compromise. These Jews were tending and keeping and raising and selling pigs, I guess selling them to the Romans, making a profit off of something that they themselves could not or should not be eating. Everybody knows that bacon's just not kosher. Jews don't eat ham. But they were keeping and tending these pigs. Compromise. We've seen compromise. When Jesus, the light of God, when he shows up, he bursts upon their scene, just as we saw as we studied the book of Matthew. He's the King of Israel. He comes to take account. We see in Matthew and the other Gospels that generally he is received, but here he's rejected. And it's their heritage. It's their heritage to reject the things that God had planned for them. They rejected the promised land. They rejected their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And when God, come in the flesh, rose up to their shore, they don't want to have anything to do with him. Again, Jesus is the light of the world. In Isaiah chapter 9, and it's not talking about this particular tribe or this region, it's talking about a couple of other tribes. But listen to this prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And there's backstory here, but it says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, two other tribes. And afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. But verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Again, it's talking about two other tribes, and it was fulfilled another place in the Gospels, but the effect is the same. This is Jesus, the light of the world. And when he shows up, they put him out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, they blew their time of visitation when God himself came down to earth, come in the flesh, rode to their part of the world, stepped out of the boat, and they said, no, we don't want. And again, it's their actions from hundreds of years ago. That was their heritage of refusing God's directions, his gifts, what have you. And actions sometimes have lasting consequences. Proverbs chapter 29. It says that he that being often reproved or told, hey, you're doing wrong, and hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. It's time to live for God. It's time to say yes to God. Because again, actions have consequences. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.